Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter. We are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's an old story told. It's a story of two men who lived in a small village in what's now the Ukraine long ago. One was a monk and one was a rabbi. Despite the differences in their cultures, despite the prejudices that were present in that time and in that place, the monk and the rabbi became good friends. One day they were talking, and the rabbi could tell his friend was deeply troubled. He asked, "What troubles you, my friend?" And the monk said, "Our monastery isn't going to last much longer. All of us are getting older year by year. No one comes to the monastery anymore. We won't be able to last much longer. And it saddens me. You know, the monks took me in when I was an orphan. The monks raised me and I became a monk, and it's been my family my whole life. And now my family is going to die out." The thought of it saddened him deeply. The rabbi said to his friend, "My friend, don't worry. There is a person in your monastery who is blessed by God, and this person has some purpose from God that is going to offer great love and great hope to many people. Do not worry, my friend. God is not done with your little monastery yet." When the monk heard these words, his spirit was lifted. He returned to his brothers and he shared the good news. He said, "God has given someone in our monastery a great purpose." But they didn't know who it was. But they were excited. They believed what the rabbi had said. And so as they went about their prayers and as they tended their garden and their orchard, as they went out to visit the sick in the community, as they went out to help the poor, as they taught the local children to read, they became well known for their encouragement and their excitement and the joy they felt. People traveled from a long ways away, riding their horses and riding their carriages to come to this little monastery and see how these monks were living out the love of Jesus Christ, and to learn from these monks the hope and the blessing that Christ could offer. Well, some years passed, and finally the old monk whose conversation had started all this was lying on his deathbed. His friend the rabbi was also old and feeble, but he summoned up his strength and he went to say goodbye to his friend before he died. The monk asked the rabbi, "How did you know that God was going to give us this great blessing?" The rabbi replied to him, "My friend, you and your brothers already had the love of God. That's the greatest gift of all gifts possible. You just needed to remember that you had this gift, and you needed to live into and live out the gift that God had already given you." Sometimes the most profound gifts are gifts that we already have in our hands, but we don't even realize that they're there. And we have a gift here at Wesley that few people in the history of the world have ever gotten to enjoy. Every week in our church, we have 5 and sometimes 6 different generations represented amongst the people sitting here for worship. I've got a bunch of old Methodist almanacs that were a gift to me from another preacher who liked history, from the 19th century. In one of those almanacs, as I was flipping through it one time, it said that only 1 out of every 200 people alive at that time, alive in the mid-19th century, would even live to the age of 80. Well, I happen to know a lot of you have already got that beat. Some of you have lived past 90. Previous generations, people in earlier times in human history would never believe we would have so many people of so many different generations gathered together. We have an unbelievable gift here, and Christ has brought us together to learn from each other. The verse today from the book of Acts, quoting the prophet Joel, reminds us that God calls everyone, young and old and everywhere in between, that God will give visions to our young people to guide us into the future, that God will help our old people dream dreams about where God is guiding all of us. How profound a blessing is that, that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to the heart of every person who turns their heart to Christ and seeks to follow Christ with their whole heart. The question is, will we use this amazing gift of so many different generations gathered together? Will we live into this gift that God has given us? Now, when I say we have five and even six generations gathered together, this is what I mean. Sociologists kind of divide up people born in certain years into generations. Of course, everyone's life is a little different than everyone else, but there's certain experiences that shape certain generations. We still have a few folks in this church from the so-called builder generation. Folks born before 1925, folks who struggled through the Depression, who lived through World War II, and in some cases fought in World War II. We have many more of the so-called silent generation, the name the sociologist gave, not the name that I came up with. Folks born between 1926 and 1945. Folks who remember World War II when they were kids. Folks who often, in many cases, fought in the Korean War. Folks who lived through the darkest days of the Cold War. Many of whom also remembered, in some cases, participated in the civil rights movement of the 1960s. And then there are the baby boomers. Those who came of age in the 1950s and the 1960s, those who remember I Love Lucy and those beautiful old 57 Chevys, but also who lived through the turmoil of the 1960s and all the upheaval that it brought. And then there's my generation, Generation X, because they never bothered to give us a formal name. Seriously. A generation born between 1965 and 1980, a generation that was shaped by the changing American economy, the rise of the latchkey kids, I was one of those, and the huge explosion in the percentage of families that had to endure divorce. And then there's the much talked about millennial generation, 1981 through 1996, a generation that now is mostly done with school, out in the working world, often in many cases raising their kids. A generation that was shaped by the events of 9/11, the rise of the internet and the cell phone, and also shaped by the continuing changes and, in many cases, challenges of the U.S. economy. And finally, there's Generation Z, born 1997 to the present. Sorry for those of you who are part of that generation. They haven't given your generation a real name yet either. This is a generation mostly of students, with a few of the oldest members of this generation who've finished high school and entered the working world or in college or in the military. This is a generation whose story is really being written and we'll hear much more from in the years ahead. But each of these generations is still writing their story. Each of these generations is still adding something to the United States. And most importantly, each of these generations, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is adding to the story of those who follow Jesus Christ. So with all of these generations gathered together, well, what do we do with this? Well, we turn to the Bible for guidance. And we need guidance from the Bible because, I'll be honest, society's not good at dealing with people of different ages. I could literally show you Roman writers who wrote more than 2,000 years ago who were pretty much convinced that all of the people younger than them were a mess. Does that sound familiar? Or, since I was raised by a mother who really liked musicals, I know a lot of show tunes. And there's a song from a show called Bye Bye Birdie from about 1962 that goes, "Kids! I don't know what to do with these kids today." The irony, of course, is in the song, the father who's singing this and he's angry at his teenage daughter says, "Why can't they be like we were, perfect in every way?" Yeah, right. He, of course, had just as much grief from his parents when he was a kid, but he'd forgotten about that. We got to get over this. That idea of looking down on those who are younger or that old lie from the 1960s, don't trust anyone over 30, yeah, that's not going to get us anywhere. How about we actually try living and learning and listening to each other? So if we turn to our scriptures for guidance, we see two stories. The first is from the Gospel of Luke, and it's a beautiful story. Joseph and Mary, though not mentioned by name in this story, but Joseph and Mary have brought Jesus to God's temple. It is the tradition to take your firstborn son and to offer a sacrifice of thanks and dedication for your firstborn son. So they go to the temple to offer this gift to God. and to also offer a gift of thanks that Mary has been delivered, and to offer a purification sacrifice after her delivery of Jesus. While they're there, these young parents, probably still in their late teens, are approached by two elders, people who are over the age of 80, which, believe me, in the ancient world was an impressive feat when most folks didn't even hit 60. Here we have Simeon and Anna, and they come to bless this young family. Simeon says, "I know that God is blessing you. This child is important. We should celebrate this child." And Simeon offers guidance and words of hope, but also words that it won't always be easy to Joseph and particularly to Mary. And Anna celebrates. She is a person of great and profound faith, and she celebrates with this young family that this child has come into the world and that God is alive and doing and will do great things through this child as this child grows up. And what a good example for Mary and Joseph as well. Their hearts and their minds are opening to hearing what these elders have to say to them. They know that they have something to say. They know that God is speaking through these people that they meet at the temple. Dare I say that they meet at church? And that maybe these people have some blessing from God to share with them. They set a great example for us of all ages and how they respond to Simeon and Anna. Now, traditionally, we think the old are to teach the young. But we also have to remember that that's not always true. Just because a person has seen a lot of years, it does not mean that they've gained wisdom. And the Bible also reminds us that sometimes God chooses the young to speak to the old. And that turns us to our second story for today. In some ways, a story that might be a little bit more difficult to hear, but also a story that offers us guidance for our world. If we turn to our story from the Hebrew Bible, the third chapter of the first book of Samuel, we see that the people of Israel have gone astray. Depending on the translation, it says visions weren't common in those days. Folks weren't listening to God. They weren't paying attention to God. They were worshiping other gods. They had forgot to give their whole hearts to God and to love their neighbors as themselves. Instead, there was injustice and there was corruption. So serious had the corruption gotten that the family of the high priest Eli had seen corruption enter into the way they were living as well. Eli himself was not corrupt. He may not have had a very strong will, but he was trying to serve God. But his two sons, it was tradition that your son would become the high priest after you died. He had these two sons who he had trained to be high priests, but his two sons realized something, unfortunately. Being priests of God gave them a lot of power. And they started to get drunk on the power. They used their authority as priests to take a far greater share of the offerings that people were giving to God than they should have. And they also started to have inappropriate relationships with women in the temple. In our time, many women have called out the sins of some men in power through the hashtag MeToo movement. But unfortunately, even 3,000 years ago, there were men abusing their power and authority and taking advantage of people. You know, we humans should really get over this sin and learn to do better someday. Now, Eli did try to speak to his sons about their corruption, but they didn't want to listen to him, and so Eli gave up trying to convince them and change them. So here we have an old man that knows that there's something wrong, but he's not doing anything about it. And he has two middle-aged sons who are using their power to satisfy their greed and their lust, and God was ticked off. Rightfully so. I don't know how old Samuel was when this happened, when God spoke to him at the temple at Shiloh long ago, but he's called a boy. Maybe he was 9, 10 years old. It doesn't say specifically. But he had a message for Eli and Eli's sons. God wanted him to make sure that they heard the message loud and clear, that God was not going to let the sin stand and that there would be consequences. Eli heard the message that this boy gave him directly from the lips of God, but Eli still didn't act. Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, also didn't change their ways. And not long after Samuel's warning, both of those men would die in battle against Israel's enemies, but not before they'd had the dishonor of losing the Ark of the Covenant to Israel's enemies. that box plated in gold where the Ten Commandments and the other sacred objects of Israel were stored, these two men died in battle and lost it to the hands of the Philistines. Samuel's story is a reminder that sometimes it is the young among us that speak God's words. When will the older people listen? Or will they just keep going down a road that can lead to a problem, that can lead to death? So what's the lesson for us here today at Wesley? We are profoundly gifted. We are a church of many generations. And each generation has its own culture and its own things to share and teach. Each generation has much to share and much to learn. God uses the gifts, the stories of faith, the talents, the experiences. The Holy Spirit can speak to us the good news of Jesus Christ through each other if we are willing to listen. Are we willing to take the time to listen to the stories of our elders? Will we ask the young adults and the teenagers among us what life is really like for them without judgment? Are we willing to believe that every person sitting here today has something that God can guide them to share with us that will bless us? My challenge for us all, and the challenge for me myself, is to engage and to listen to all those around us, to learn from those who are from a different generation, to talk to someone older and younger and to seek them out, to not dismiss the concerns and the experiences that they have, to understand the joys and the struggles they really face. Don't write off someone as out of date because they're older than you. Don't write off somebody who is younger than you as not having anything to share. The churches that I've served have had so many times when I've seen people of one generation share with another. There was an older woman at one of the last churches I served before I came here to Sterling. She told about how her father was put in charge of a Lutheran-affiliated orphanage in Pennsylvania in the 1940s. And she told us how a little girl, her family provided a good Christmas dinner and a gift to a bunch of children who had never had either. Children who had one set of clothes and not enough to eat. And what a joy it was for them to hear the story of Christmas, a story that some of them had never been told before. At another church where I was student pastor, I remember there were two young women, two sisters who were in their teens, who had a beautiful ability to dance. And one day, for the special music, they did a profound, beautiful dance celebrating the creation of God, the story of the creation in Genesis. And it moved people's hearts to tears. We have so much to learn from each other if we're willing to listen. So my challenge to you today is to talk to someone else. Talk to someone here at church before you leave or before church next week. Maybe talk to someone out in the wider world. If you look in the bulletins today, there's that half sheet. Each week we have a half sheet with a calendar on it, but if you flip over the calendar this week, there's some questions that I and some of my colleagues came up with of maybe some conversation starters if you're talking to someone who's a different age. I invite you to take a look at these, to talk, to learn, to listen. We all have such profound gifts to share with each other. Will we do it? Will we live into the gift that God has given us? And will we learn from each other so that we can better share the love of Christ out in our world? I pray we do. Amen.